Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall he say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. The fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns in power and great glory to establish the kingdom of God here upon earth, that the will of God might be done on earth as it is done in heaven. But I want to take you back just for a moment to chapter 2. In chapter 2, we have the first preview of the kingdom of the Messiah. And in chapter 2, we find that the emphasis is upon, first of all, the house of God and the harvest. The house of the Lord upon the mountain top. And the people said, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. And then in that same chapter, the first four verses, the emphasis then changes to the harvest. And such is the harvest that they will beat their swords into plowshares, and their pruning hooks, or their spears, into pruning hooks, for so bountiful will be the harvest when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to reign. And so we have in chapter 2 a preview of the millennial kingdom, when nations shall learn war no more, and people want to go up to the house of the Lord, and the harvest will be so great that actually the reaper will overtake the sower. Then when we come to chapter 4, we're given a second preview of this kingdom that is yet to come. Not now the house of the Lord or the harvest, it's the habitation of the Lord among his people in that millennial day. A habitation that will be making known the very presence of the Messiah in the midst of his people. Interesting, chapter 4, because the imagery is taken from the tabernacle in the wilderness, which speaks of the cloud and the pillar of fire. It says, Isaiah chapter 4, in that great millennial day, when the Lord will have his habitation among the people, his presence will be made known by a pillar of cloud that will overshadow the whole of the land, and a flaming pillar of fire that will shine through the night. And so during that millennial era, they will have the evidence of the presence of the Lord in their midst. So we have those first two previews of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we go to chapter 12, we now have the third preview. We dealt with the first three verses last week. So we notice in verse number 4, it says, in that day. So that's how the chapter began. And now says the prophet Isaiah, in that day, the substance of praise that fills out the first three verses is actually going to be expressed in that millennial day. And the expression of their praise is the subject matter of verses 4, 5, and 6. Notice in these three verses, we've got scriptural alliteration. In that day ye shall say, verse 4. In that day ye shall sing, verse 5. In that day ye shall shout, verse 6. And so we find that when the Lord returns to establish his kingdom, in that day, then says the prophet, ye shall say, praise the Lord. So it will be a time of praising the Lord in that great millennial day. And then, of course, not only praise the Lord, but also to make known unto the peoples the doings of the Lord in the earth, so that they are to praise the Lord as individuals. Then as a nation, they are to act as the evangelist and make known among the peoples the doings of the Lord. If you're looking at your Bible, of course, you'll see that the word people is in the singular. If you have a Newbery Bible in your hand, you'll see the symbol suggests that it is in the plural. So what's going to happen in the millennial reign of Christ? Restored Israel will be the evangelist unto all the peoples of the earth. And they're going to make known unto all the peoples of the earth the doings of the Lord. And so we find that here we have this preview of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stress this because, you know, we live in a day when there are many Christians who do not see the millennial reign of Christ to be literal and to be physical. What Isaiah is saying to us is going to be a literal kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ will return as King of Kings in a physical way. And so this is what the prophet is saying unto us. But they're not only to say, they are also to sing. And here are people who are going to sing unto the Lord. They're going to speak unto the peoples. They're going to sing unto the Lord. And the subject of that song will be the excellency of his name. And so we see that the Jews, now a nation restored and recovered back to the land, they will sing. And they will sing unto the Lord. And that in relation to the excellency of his name. And so we find this remarkable characteristic of the millennial kingdom. It will be a kingdom of praise. But then, of course, in verse number 6, it's not only just saying, it's not just singing. Now he's shouting. Cry aloud and shout. And so what are they to shout? Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. You see, in that millennial day, the restored nation, they will have much to shout about. And what they're to shout about first and foremost is the greatness of their Messiah. In this verse, described as the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. That's going to be a marvelous day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth and recovers his people Israel, restores them into the land, establishes a kingdom, and there will be a testimony unto the peoples of the earth There'll be a singing to the Lord himself, and there'll be a shouting, and that shouting will be because of the greatness of their King, even the Holy One of Israel. Why? He is in the midst of his people. Now that's a very interesting statement, because when you read in Zephaniah and chapter 3, well, you'll have another kind of a picture of that millennial reign. We find that the Holy One of Israel, in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 12, is described as the righteous Lord in verse number 12. He's described as the King of Israel in the midst of thee. So in verse 12, the righteous Lord is going to be in the midst of his people Israel. In verse 15, the righteous Lord will also be the King of Israel in the midst of his people. When you go to verse 17, it goes on to say, the Lord God will be in the midst of thee. From these scriptures, we just get the feel of what it's going to mean unto Israel in the coming day, when they're gathered in from the four corners of the earth and established in the land as the head of the nations, no longer the tail, God's evangelist unto all the nations of the world, the people who sing in, the people who shout in. Well, if Israel has something to sing about, we'll have something to sing about and shout about in a coming day. Of course, you and I have much to sing and shout about today. We could shout, could we not? Concerning the greatness of the Lord, who's pleased to make his presence known in the midst of us. And these ought to be the subjects of our song and our shouting, the greatness and the holiness of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how chapter 12 gives us the third preview of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Now when we go to chapter 35, you'll observe when we finish in chapter 12, takes up in chapter 35. You see, it's singing in chapter 12. Now we find it singing in chapter 35. And as you look at these 10 verses, you'll observe in verses 1 and 2, it's all about creation. When you come to verses 3 and 4, it's all about the fearful in heart. And then when you come to verses 5, 6 and 7, it's all about the earth, condition on earth, and the abundant fertility of the earth in this coming day when the Lord shall reign. And then, of course, the chapter concludes in verses 8, 9 and 10 with a highway that will be made for the remnant people to return unto the land. I just want to talk to you about these things just for a while. I want to talk to you about creation. For in these first two verses, we have creation rejoicing, creation joying, creation singing. You see what's happened in verses 1 and 2, we have the earth personified. And the whole earth is given over to joy and rejoicing and singing. And why? Because, of course, the curse that was put upon the earth at the fall of man have now been lifted. And with the lifting of the curse from the earth now will joy and rejoice and will sing. Because after all, the desert shall blossom as a rose, and the earth will be fertile in its product. And so you see how the earth, having been personified by the prophet, is going to be a place of rejoicing and singing because the curse has been lifted. That'll be a tremendous day, will it not? With the curse lifted, the earth will be fertile. And then it's likened unto Lebanon, unto Carmel, and unto Sharon. In other words, the beauty of the earth that's now been relieved from the curse. It will be like unto the glory of Lebanon and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. There's going to be something beautiful about the earth when it's released from its curse, and it will be as God intended it to be, at the very beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. So you see how these two chapters link together. In chapter 12, it's the Jews rejoicing in that day of the millennial reign of Christ. But the earth also will rejoice and will sing, have great joy, when you think there'll be no more drought, there'll be no more famine. The earth will produce as it never produced before, and there'll be no shortage, not in that day, not of food, no shortage of bread, no shortage of wine. The earth will bring forth her fruit in an abundance. So that's the way in which the chapter opens. But you see, you now step back a bit. And in verses 3 and 4, we're taking a step back to the fearfulness of the hearts of some among the Jews. Their hearts were fearful because of things that were happening in the earth. Because of those days of great tribulation, their hearts were fearful. But after all, Satan had been cast out of heaven. Satan had brought upon the political stage his two agents, the beast and the false prophet. And with the beast and the false prophet now established in the earth as the dominant rulers of the world, the Jews are under great pressure and in a great tribulation for all who will not bow down and worship the image of the beast will do so on threat of death. All who will not receive the mark of the beast will not be able to trade. And so you see why it is some of the Jews, what we call the remnant people, they are fearful in heart because of what's happening in the world at that point in time, just prior to the Lord's coming from heaven to establish his kingdom upon the earth. And more so, as you noted before, the Mediterranean Sea is going to be made a highway for the kings of the east to come in. And there's going to be a gathering of all the nations of the world in their defiance against God and against Christ and against the people of God. And therefore, they will gather themselves together. And their one ambition is to destroy every Jew, annihilate the nation, and destroy their city, so the purposes of God could not be brought to fulfillment. So that's the reason why the expression is now made, no, be not fearful. You see, the hands were weak, the knees were feeble, and their hearts were filled with fear, because of those dreadful, dreadful days that are going to appear and take place upon the earth just prior to the Lord's return from heaven. So the message to the fearful in heart is this: behold, your God shall come with vengeance. They said, look, behold your God. He's going to come and he's going to actually deal with all his enemies. And so we find that from chapter 35, it looks off to Revelation chapter 19, when all the armies of the world gathered up under the headship of the beast and the false prophet, energized by Satan himself, are gathered in defiance against God and against his Son. At that point, the Lord Jesus Christ appears. The Bible talks about this, the sign of the Son of Man appears in the heavens. And from that point, the Lord Jesus Christ returns from heaven to earth as a great warrior king, depicted for us, of course, in Revelation 19. He's coming to deal with all these enemies. He's coming in vengeance. He's coming to recompense the evil of these people and what they've done unto his people, the Jews. God is going to bring in a recompense of judgment. And so we learn, do we not? Just by putting the scripture together and just promoting our thoughts away future to Revelation chapter 19. When the Lord comes back to reign, the first thing he does is this. He takes the beast and the false prophet And he cast them alive into the lake of fire. No judgment needed. Alive they're cast in the lake of their sin, their evil is so apparent. No necessity for a judgment. So they are cast into the lake of fire. And then we learn that the devil, that old serpent, the dragon, Satan, he's going to be taken. And I take it, of course, with all the host of Satan, all the demon spirits under his control, all going to be taken. And they're going to be imprisoned within the abyss for 1,000 years whilst the Lord Jesus Christ reigns here upon the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So you can understand the message given to those at that point in time who are fearful in heart. Behold your God. He cometh with vengeance and he's coming to recompense the evil of his enemies. And at that point, all the enemies of the Lord will be put beneath his feet. Just what God said unto him at the point of his ascension, sit thou here at my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And it all happens in Revelation chapter 19, just in preparation for the establishing of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that everlasting kingdom, that millennial kingdom, when the Lord Jesus Christ will reign in person upon the earth. So that's verses 3 and 4. But then we go further. We now see the effect of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Not only will the curse be removed from the earth, so the earth will bring forth its fruits in abundance. Not only will the fearful hearts of the people be encouraged and comforted, and the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble strengthened. You see, now there's going to be something more. There are going to be changes here in this present world, on the earth, when the Lord comes. You see, what's going to happen is this. What happened when the Lord came the first time and presented himself to Israel as their Messiah? He gave the proof. He gave signs to the nation that he was in very deed the Messiah of whom the Old Testament prophets predicted would come. What signs were those? The mighty works that he did. The miracles that he wrought. What did he do? Well, by his power, sickness and disease actually disappeared. He healed all that were brought to him who were sick or diseased. We find also he made the lame to walk. He gave the blind their sight. He made the dumb to speak. He made the deaf to hear. See, the Lord did all these things when he came the first time, for there were signs that he was indeed their Messiah. But what the Jews failed to do at his first advent was to link the doings of the Lord Jesus Christ then, in their very midst, which they were seeing, back to this passage in Isaiah chapter 35. Because in Isaiah chapter 35, we find what the Lord did at his first advent to the Jews who sought forever seeking a sign from him. He did these mighty works to prove his messiahship, and they did not believe him. Well, we know the story only too well. They would not believe him. In fact, they despised and rejected him, and they put him to the cross. And so we find when he comes again, what he did at his first advent, he's going to do all over again. By his power, no disease and sickness will just vanish away in his presence. You'll find that the blind will see, and the lame will walk, and the dumb will speak, and the deaf will hear. So there'll be none of those things during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no sickness. there'd be no disease. Death will be in abeyance, and so will sin, in a measure, because the Lord, the King of Kings, is here upon the earth. He's reigning, and the will of God is being done on earth, as it is now being done in heaven. So you see the wonderful way in which the Old Testament prophets predicted what the earth and what condition will be like when the Lord Jesus Christ reigns here upon the earth. For after all, there cannot be any drought, can there? There cannot be any famine. For you see, the desert, well, it will blossom as a rose because of the streams of water and because of the rivers. There'll be an abundance of water supply during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. Hence, there will be no drought. There will be no famine. There will be no want. There'll be food for everyone throughout the whole of the earth, throughout the whole of the world. There'll be no shortage whatsoever. And so you see, it's a wonderful way in which this chapter gives us a preview of what it will be like when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, recovers his people Israel, establishes them in the world as the head of the nations and not the tail, to be his evangelist. And what do we find? In the closing verses 8, 9, and 10, in order for the Jews to return to the land from the north, the south, the east, and the west, the Lord is going to set up a highway. And it will be such a highway that not even those who might be called fools could err. They could not miss the highway. They could not miss the way. This highway that the Lord will actually prepare for them to come back to the land. And they will come back. They will come back by that highway. Notice how the prophet described it will be a way of holiness. Therefore, nothing unclean shall travel along that highway, because it's a highway marked by holiness. And so we find it will be a plain way. So even those who might be reckoned to be foolish, they're not err. They're not miss the way. And therefore, they will walk along this highway of holiness. And nothing unclean will travel that way. Because the Lord is back, of course, there'll be no wild beast. No ravenous beast at all. Not to hinder the way of those who wanted to return. For that side of the animal creation has been removed altogether. And so we find that will not only be a plain way, will not be a way of holiness, it will be a happy way, in the sense of the people coming back to the land in that day will be people rejoicing and singing because they are the redeemed of the Lord. And so the chapter concludes with this wonderful picture, at least as I see it, and no doubt you do, this wonderful picture of the tremendous change that will take place in the world when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in power and great glory, when the curse will be lifted from the earth and the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then will the will of God be done on earth. You say, well, what about these 22 chapters in between? Chapter 12 and chapter 35. Well, of course, there are those chapters that intervene between those two chapters that we may be given an understanding of things that would take place that will precede the establishing of the kingdom. And so we've got the Book of Burdens from chapter 13, and it goes right through to chapter 16, part 1, chapter 17 to 21, part 2, and then chapter 22 and 23, part 4. Those three parts, they are called the Book of Burdens, meaning it's the utterance of divine judgment, that when the prophet was called upon to make that known, it became a burden. They felt the weight of the message of judgment they were bringing in relation to the nations and even into Jerusalem itself. And so whenever we, as gospel preachers, may feel we should preach about the judgment of God, remember, we ought to feel the weight of such a message, even as the prophets did, for they were a burden upon the hearts of the people, of the prophets. But then, of course, there's also a book that deals with the Song of Praise. And from the Song of Praise, we then come to the book. It's a book of woes that takes us right through to chapter 34. After all, read chapter 34. It gives us a description of those final years of great tribulation that will precede the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Well, that's the first part of Isaiah's prophecy. And it closes up with such a climatic close that causes the heart to rejoice that God is faithful. He will remember his own. Now we trust God will bless his word to us yet again. Thank you.